Talk Story, Maui's longest talk show. I'm just going over memories and with my dear friends Donna and Bob Hansen. I get to see you about once a year now. Is that about it?
Yep.
Yeah, we listen to you on the radio, of course.
Oh, yes.
I miss you guys. I really miss you guys. I love you guys. You sold me a couple places. I dared to ask when I sold that place. How many years ago? Was that 25 years ago I sold that place?
In
Wailea, the Grand Champions.
Yeah.
And I said, I wonder what it's worth. They said, you don't want to know.
No.
You don't want to know
no,
it.
No, not it's anymore. Like,
but you know what? It's so cool. I stay in touch kind of with you through Clint, your wonderful son, who's really so busy right now, of course, and handling a lot of things with your the company's been going strong. Again, who would have ever guessed? Who would have ever guessed that we'd be going through this cycle? Last year's been insane with the housing market, right? Just crazy.
It has. Our last listing was, we had 25 offers on it. It was very hard.
We have never had
25 offers on anything. We've heard about that on the mainland.
That's impossible. 25 offers.
Oh, yeah. 25 offers.
And it was hard to sort through it.
I think everyone thinks this is like, it's amazing, it's good, and it's bad. It's a double-edged sword, right? Yeah. It's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. I mean, because number one, when you have 25 offers, people think it's so easy being a real estate agent. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. I mean, you're going through the stuff with stuff like, well, but you know, it's been one of those things where it's been a wild ride, and at the same time, you just kind of try to do the best you can do to deal with it, right?
Yeah, if you're a realtor on the buyer's side, mm-hmm. it's not so great, because then you're competing with this, in our case, you know, 24 other people, and same with the people. You know, one person is the winner, but there's 24. Other people that have lost out, and it saddens me mm-hmm. that people can't find a place to live, you know, mm-hmm. if they want to buy a place.
Well, I mean, that happened to me last July. Actually, it was around May or June. You know, I was told the house I had in the islands was going to be sold, and I went, oh my gosh, you know. And I mean, you've known me. I've lived on the island 30 years, and mm-hmm. I've had, you know, nice, good, I call myself good karma, you know, for good houses and nice house karma. My karma ran out this time around. I'm trying to find a house. I'm living in a 1,000-square-foot cottage for the same price as I paid for the islands with the pool. That's the double-edged sword, right? Yeah. That's the other side of it.
It is.
But at the same time, you know, people don't realize also there's people like you. You know, you've been in the real estate business for, gosh, how many years now? I mean, I've known you as long as I've been here. How long have you been in real estate?
45 years.
Nice.
Well, not here. We've been in real estate since we moved here 32 years ago.
Yeah. That's around mm-hmm. exactly the same time. Yeah. That was the same time as I came here, 32 years. And you know, all this time, and I have had the blessing of knowing you for all the time that you were here pretty much then. You have given back, and it's Thanksgiving time, and it's a good time to talk about giving back and being grateful. Mm-hmm. You've given back and with a passion every year to a cause that I really, really, really support 100%. And obviously you have your reasons for supporting it, too. It's the Friends of the Children's Justice Center. You started your fundraiser for them how many years ago?
23 years ago. This would be the 23rd annual party that we have and fundraiser. I mean, people come from all over. We have Mr. and Mrs. Claus. We have people that send to us. You know, we send the invitation out, and they just send money and gift cards and gifts and things. But we've loved it. I mean, it started with, you know, girls' luncheon.
Oh, then did it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I just asked everybody the first year to please bring one toy that would have significance to their lives. And each one did, and each story was beautiful. But I didn't know what to do with the gifts. And then I knew a mom from Seabury and asked her, and she said, well, you know, the Children's Justice Center is really good. So that's how I connected with them then, many, many moons ago.
I kind of knew about the Friends of the Children's Justice Center through our friend Susie Tiemann, who does nonprofit notes. And she started started making me aware of what they did. Mm. And as I would hear their story, I was like, this is almost miraculous. It's the kind of story you'd see on 60 Minutes or something like that. It's like one of those stories where, can someone really do that much, and can they help that much, and how come more people don't know about it, was my first take on that, right?
Right. And Paul does a I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. It just tickles me because we had the chance to meet some of the graduates, in quotes, of the Friends of the Children's Just Center program, and Paul Tonneson, of course, and he was there, and we met these kids, and, well, they're, you know, young adults now. They're 18, 19, 20 years old, some of them from Molokai, you know, some of them from Lanai, but most from Maui, and these are the most special kids.
Oh, they're wonderful.
They have, you know, Paul Tonneson has, you know, helped to, you know, nurture these kids and make them become adults. And these kids are also involved in the Justice Center and giving back. So they learn that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start at the beginning and tell the story of what the Friends of the Children's Justice Center did and Paul's story behind it. Because there might be some people out there, like, I didn't know before I knew Susie and before Paul would come in what the story is. Because it's a good Christmas story, and it's a good Thanksgiving story. That's why I'm so glad you could come in today. So why don't you give us a little background on what the Friends of the Children's Justice Center do?
Well, they try to make the children, first of all, comfortable when they're taken away from their parents. And they give them something to hold because they leave and they don't have clothes. They don't have anything, and Children's Justice Center comes in and they give them what they need in order for them to be without their parents, because kids blame themselves for whatever's going on in the family. When these kids are neglected or sexually, physically abused, and finally somebody discovers, and hopefully, and they'll report it, and then they set to have somebody come in and check the kids, and eventually they'll pull them out. And it's real hard. It's really hard for these children.
It's heartbreaking. And at the same time, it's the underbelly that no one really talks about enough, because we always want good news and good stuff and think things like this don't happen here. But they do.
Oh, a lot.
They do, and we don't hear about it a lot. But that's why it's important to realize, if it weren't for people like Paul and the Friends of the Children's Justice Center, these kids would be falling through the cracks.
Oh, absolutely. And many still do, that don't get found. I mean, discovered. And it's sad, because you see kids and you don't know that there are also homeless children out there. And they go to school and all that, but they're homeless. So even those children are helped by the Children's Justice Center.
I did not know that.
They'll do whatever they can for any child.
I had never heard that before. Yeah. I thought it was just always with abuse situations where they came in, but I didn't know they helped also with the homeless children.
If there's anybody that needs help, Paul would be there right away. He just is. That's just who he is.
And you know, not only does he go out and help, but the thing that is really a truly amazing Christmas story is that he makes sure at Christmas time that these kids all have Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes sure to the point where he will get them and he will take them and make sure each of those kids get gifts at Christmas time, correct?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's true. And one of the, let's just say, it used to be there's for every 20 kids, there was one person that was responsible for them in the Friends of the Children Justice Center. And so that's why gift cards are such a good thing, because it's not just for Christmas. They can have all these stack of gift cards, and they can, a $25 gift cards or a $50 gift, and they can take the kids to Macy's or Walmart. And just make it a nice little day and said, just buy what you want for $25 or $50. And it's just a thrill for these kids, and it really helps them.
So going back to when you first found out at your little luncheon and you gave those probably a small amount of gifts, right?
Mm-hmm. About 14.
Maybe 14 gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Then what did you just, how did it follow up? You went back and found out more and realized, well, this is really important. I want to do more to help? Or
the next the next year, what I once I heard about it, then the next year I had a bunch of couples over. Thought, well, why just the wives? Why not the, or whatever, single women? Let's have couples over. Okay, bring a toy. Don't bring a dish. Just bring a toy. So then people came, and then it just expanded from there. And at one of the functions, someone came up to me and said, you have no idea what this means. If it wasn't for this event and for people who give, these children would not get one gift at Christmas. And I was just devastated to think that children would feel so unloved. I mean, it doesn't matter what their religion is or anything, but everybody talks about Santa Claus. Everybody talks about gifts. And you have, you know, you've got decorations everywhere already at Thanksgiving. And it's hard for these kids. So for them to get a gift means a lot. And people give really nice things, bikes, yeah. You know.
Wow.
Oh, yes. They, you know, some people donate $1,000 or $2, and it just helps, and it makes such a difference. And also, with some of the financial support, the Children's Justice Center will get needed dental work or health work for these kids that they wouldn't get otherwise. That, you know, Maui County can't support them for that, so...
And just so there's a point of reference, this is something that is recognized by the police department, by the judicial system. It's not just something on its own out there.
No.
How long has he been doing this? Do you have any idea, Donna?
Jeez. Well, I was working with another person for at least, what?
Well, at least 10 years, yeah. Before Paul came.
Yeah, now wow. Paul and his partner helps.
And Paul's been doing it for years?
15.
Yeah, at least 15,
at
if
least,
not more.
I would think.
Yeah. And so when you find out someone doing something so dedicated to trying to help, and because, you know what, I'm sure he sees stories we never even could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that he's doing what maybe we could never even imagine and trying to help, and that there's people like you helping, it does make a difference. I mean, I know... The last time you could do it in person was about 2 years ago. 2019 was it, the last one you did?
Mm-hmm.
At the peak of when you were able to do it, how was it going? How much have you been were able to raise to, for the Friends of the Children's Justice Center?
We were, you know, at that point in 2019, mm-hmm. We had about 250 people at the venue. We always had it at the beach house. And at valet parking and such. And I think at that point, we were around 25,000 in gifts and gift cards and checks. Last year, we actually did even a little bit better than that.
Really?
And this year, we're hoping to do a little bit more because we contact all of our clients. We, you know, appear on your show. We do a lot of marketing on that.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Donna and Bob Hansen. The Hansons have been in the real estate business here for 30 years, about, and give back a lot. Your family's wonderful. I mean, I know Clint. I know, you know, you just, and you have another amazing son, actually, who's I've met as well, right? We don't want to forget him either, right?
Oh, Daryl Hansen, and then Hans.
Yeah.
Daryl's a solar person.
Yeah. But we're talking about this wonderful give back time. For the Friends of the Children's Justice Center here on Maui. And any donations really appreciated. It can be a toy. It could be a gift card. It can be a check. I mean, the bottom line is this could mean the difference between a child who's been abused, a child who's lost their family, or a homeless child getting a gift or not getting a gift. And so it does make a difference. And everything you bring in, you get there and you get back. It's not like you know, there's so many nonprofits, I'm not saying here in Maui, but there's so many nonprofits in the country that take a percentage, and we don't even know that sometimes, but the reality is that it's the truth. A lot of these organizations take, mm-hmm. I mean, I won't mention names, but some of them take a big percentage. Yeah. But everything you do here goes directly.
Oh, absolutely.
Directly back. And if you would like to send a check, You can make the check out to the Friends of the Children's Justice Center. Or if you want to buy a gift card, you just take a gift card to, and you mail it to 161 Waleaiki Place, Unit A 106. That's Waleaiaiki 96793. I'll repeat that. Some of you might be driving. I'm sorry, 96753. So it's, again, you mail it to 161 Waleaiki Place, Unit A 106, Waleaiaiki 96753. And if people are driving and they can't remember that, they could also contact you, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
A best way to contact you is?
They could call me at 808-280-1650.
Okay, because so I want to make a PSA about this. 280, what's the last part of that?
1650.
1650, great.
And I just have to say, too, mm-hmm. here, when they could also bring gifts mm-hmm. or checks or gift cards to our office.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have the real Mr. and Mrs. Claus on Maui here.
You do.
They are fabulous people.
Yes.
And they are decorating our office to the
Seriously?
T's coming up
really?
This Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
So from Friday on, right till Christmas, it'll be decorated. And you come into the office and say hello.
And give people directions Maui style, because we need, and you know Maui style directions, what's it close to?
Well, Maui style directions, it's close to the tennis courts.
Okay.
Yeah. Drive up there to next to Mateo's restaurant, the famous Italian restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and we're right next door. It's almost, same front door. It's maybe 5 feet away.
I would just add, it's probably good either make address it to Donna Hansen or the Hansons or anything like that. So, so when they go to A106, then the office will know.
Yes,
and then they get opened, and then they get saved, and then when Paul comes in and picks the gifts up, then it all goes at that time to him, and then he distributes it.
Now, when you think about this, the story that you've been doing this long, some of those kids are now grown up. Some of the kids that got gifts, some of the kids that were able to get through the many generous donations over the years of this. And what do you hear back from Paul? Have you heard stories back from Paul about, and the Friends of the Children's Justice Center, about the impact of these gifts?
Well, we attended one of the luncheons where the parents actually get to come and see the kids along with whomever their foster parent is at the time. And Mr. and Mrs. Claus is there distributing the gifts to each of the kids. And so we have seen that. And one little boy came up and said something to Paul and thanked him. And when he left, it was told to us that that little boy had been beaten by his father and had problems, brain damage at the time. And it was really sad, because you could tell a lot of the parents were on drugs or were trying to get off drugs, and the kids were there with their parents. And one little boy said, "I got to see my brother," mm-hmm. because a lot of times the foster care can't take all the kids, because there can sometimes be a lot of children taken at the same time.
Yeah. And over these last 18, 19 months in this last year, unfortunately, and I know that all of these problems have been exacerbated, the problems with drugs, the problems with alcohol, the problems with abuse. Unfortunately, those are the tsunami side effects of what has happened with everything and the stress and the economic hardship and sometimes even increased homelessness that has come to families at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to add, and I mentioned this a little bit before, but back in about 2017, I think it was, the Friends of the Children's Justice Center had a get-together, and there was a lot of people up at, the King Kamehameha Golf Course,
mm-hmm.
and a big venue there, and, Paul was there, and mm-hmm. a lot of people were there, and they had a silent auction, they raised lots of money, I was just very impressed that six or seven of the graduates, I call them, from the program, were there giving back to the community, and they're just fabulous people. And that's what it's all about, is mm-hmm. kids becoming adults who like people and who give back to the community.
You know, saving a life like that, you know, the impact is we can't even begin to see the ripple effect. And if those kids hadn't been helped by the Friends of the Children's Justice Center, or if someone hadn't cared enough to say, there's a problem here, you know, this is a hard decision, but we know this child is being beat up, we know this child is being abused. It's such a hard decision to say that, knowing the impact, but if that hadn't been done, there we know of the cases, unfortunately, where children die from the abuse sometimes, or their lives go in a spiral of abuse that then spirals into continued abuse. The statistics on that, when there's a child abuse situation of that continuing and going on, is horrifying. You know that, and I know that. So the fact is that when the Friends of the Children's Justice Center step forward and make a change, and you're able to see a child that is a success story that has become a good person giving back, the difference is night and day of what could have been and what has been done, and how that person now has a life that would have been a terrible life otherwise, you know.
Yeah, that really says it all.
Yes.
Right there.
And that's what a legacy is being created by Paul and his group. And I know he has probably a million stories more to tell. I mean, but how do you even handle this? Because, you know, the thing is, his hands were full before. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that. But his hands are full beyond capacity now, and it's only by people helping out and stepping up and volunteering. And there's countless heroes out there who are volunteering. We never know their names, you know. So we're mentioning Paul and the Friends of the Children's Justice Center. If he was here, he could probably give you at least 25 to 40 or 50 names of people who are also helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless them. And, you know, Thanksgiving coming this Thursday, all we can say is thank you to people like you, Donna, and you, Bob, who have realized that this is so, so, so important to give back and to make a difference that way. And that's why I'm really asking. I want to give you a donation, but I got this and I forgot to write the check, so I'm going to send it in as well. Because, you know, otherwise I'm trying to think, how do I get out there and write the check right now? But I know your address, so I can do that, and I will. And I just want people to know it can be any amount, because a toy can be, you know, a toy is a toy.
Yeah, unwrapped, though.
An unwrapped toy you can drop off at your office there by Mateo's and the tennis courts there,
right
at
above the tennis courts.
161 Wailea Iki Place, Unit A. Or if you want to write a check, or maybe just get a gift card and drop it in the mail to Donna or Bob Hansen, Donna and Bob Hansen, at 161 Wailea Iki Place, Unit A, 106 Wailea, 96753. And or call 280-1650. You make the check out, if you're doing a check, to Friends of the Children's Justice Center, Maui.
Yeah.
Friends of the Children's Justice Center, Maui. It can be any amount. All the money is going to the Friends of the Children's Justice Center. Any toy, any gift card that you get is guaranteed to get there. And you probably won't see the look on the child's face when they get that toy or that gift card. But you never know the impact it could make in that child's life. I can't help but think of Tiny Tim here. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go Tiny Tim here, you know? But I mean, we don't know, you know? We don't know, and boy, and just like Charles Dickens, I mean, we're going through a time now where there's people struggling that same way. I mean, it's really, really tough times for a lot of families and a lot of kids, and it's even tougher if you have a family that has gone through this, and if you have a child that is not going to have a Christmas gift, even though they're with foster parents. We all know how hard it is, even when you have a child with a loving home that's been taken out of their situation of abuse. I can't even imagine the heroes of the people who try to help these children who've been so abused. You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling what you know would happen if they aren't there to step forward. But thank God they're there, and thank God there's people to help and when they're in need. And, you know, you see $25,000, aiming for more. That's a lot of nice gifts for Christmas for kids in need.
And then dental and
that's right.
medical assistance when needed, as well as the gift cards. Especially, you know, there are children that are older that would be forgotten
We don't
want to
forget that,
no,
right. That's
really
very
important.
True. Teenagers. How hard is it for kids that are teenagers going through that, right?
That's right. You know, don't forget about the teens. They need gifts too, and it's again, it's not, the gifts are like a one-shot deal. Great. Mm-hmm. The gift cards and the checks will last all year.
Yeah. I agree. I absolutely agree. And I just am really grateful. I mean, I really, truly am grateful. You two are just beautiful people, and I feel blessed to know you because I know how good you are in your hearts. I mean, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
I've known you for a long time. Yeah. And so I just want to say mahalo. You know, it's a Thanksgiving story, so I'm in a really big, big mahalo to you for all that you do, and God bless you, and have a very Merry Christmas, okay?
We will.
Okay,
right.
And have a happy Thanksgiving. Give my love to the family.
Oh, will do.
Okay.
I promise. You take good care.
You do,
and
too.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I'll send that check to this address.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Oh, yes, and I am so happy to have my friend Ann Rilero. Ann Rilero, I met Ann first through the Pacific Whale Foundation when she was working there for years. And Ann did an amazing job. My gosh, I just love the work that you did, Ann. And I mean, Ann moved on to a really amazing cause since then. And she got started with the Maui Nui Marine Resource Council and has been doing, I mean, gangbuster work, just amazing work. And I'm so happy that you and Jill could come in today. I got Jill Wharton here, who's also project and research coordinator. It's nice to meet you, Jill.
Nice to meet you.
There's a wonderful story behind the Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. And I've been reading, I have to say, Ann, you're amazing. She sent me some notes. It's actually a book here. I mean, she sent 5 pages of notes. Right? It's like, wow, okay. And it's really an amazing story, but you're going to be heading off tonight for a benefit night for Maui Nui Marine Source Council. We love Flatbread Company in Paia. It's going to happen from 5 to 9 in case anyone's out and around wondering what they want to do tonight. That's a cool one to go to, right?
Exactly. And aloha, Cindy. And thank you for all of your kind words. It's so great to see you.
I love you, Ann. I mean, it's great.
I love you, too. And it's always a treat to come in here and get to chat with you and catch up. And yes, we're heading off to Flatbread Company later today. Starting at 5 o'clock, they have their benefit night. And, you know, it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. So if you're busy making pumpkin pies and stuffing and you're thinking that the last thing you want to do is cook tonight, go pick up a pizza at Flatbread or treat yourself to dinner at Flatbread. And for every large pizza they sell tonight, they'll donate $3.50 to Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. And the smaller flatbreads, I think they'll donate $1.75. And it will all go towards helping to protect our coral reefs and work for clean ocean water along the shores here of Maui. So go enjoy some pizza and treat yourself.
Well, you know, we all kind of know about reefs, but I truthfully have learned more about reefs than I ever knew. And I have a feeling most of our listeners don't really know. We know the surface story. We know there's a problem with reefs. We know kind of what's going on. But, I mean, you have done, deep dive with reefs? But you've done a super deep dive with this with Jill and have really gone to find out what's really going on with facts and figures and knowledge and tests and things that are kind of really amazing that you've actually found out. I mean, basically, it's beyond proof. And what you found out is kind of scary in a way as well, right?
Yeah, our reefs are in bad shape. Reefs worldwide are really suffering from warming ocean waters and climate change. Reefs are very susceptible to changes in temperature. And even just 2 degrees difference, 2 degrees warmer ocean, can really cause the corals to start bleaching and dying. So what we're doing at Maui Nui Marine Resource Council is looking at what we can do to help our reefs. And so one of the big things here is water quality. You know, corals need clean ocean water to survive. And there are a lot of things that we can do, you know, things that are happening on this island that are impacting the water quality of our shorelines. And so, Jill just joined us back in September. And we're so fortunate to have her. And she's taken on quite a few projects for us. And one of the projects she's taken on is our reef-friendly landscaping program. And I'll let her talk a little bit about that. You know, again, this is all about water quality, and, you know, what we do on land makes a difference for the ocean and our corals.
And I'm so glad you are going to take this on, because we kind of have known this, but we haven't known the how, what, where, when, why, or the true impact. And you found out a lot. What have you found out about it, Jill?
So based off of our water quality program, our coastal water quality testing program, Hui'oka Vai'ola, there's a lot of data showing that there's excess nutrients in the water. And sometimes those nutrients can actually come from fertilizers that are being put and used as landscaping products on coastal properties. So with our ReFriendly Landscaping project, we are working with resorts, golf courses, hotels, and assisting them in transitioning to organic land care. So we have an organic land care consultant, Dwayne Sparkman. He was the chief engineer at the Westin over in Ka'anapali. And he had a ton of success transitioning that property to mostly organic land care. As we know, whatever we put on land is going to end up in our oceans. And a lot of those synthetic fertilizers, chemical pesticides, chemical herbicides, they can really inhibit the coral. They can inhibit photosynthesis. They can smother corals as well, cause algae blooms. So we really want to try to reduce that as much as we possibly can. And a lot of times properties don't necessarily know where to start. So our goal is to reduce nutrient runoff as much as possible. And then we'll offer an incentive, like a certification for properties that do make that organic land care transition. They'll be certified as using ReFriendly Landscaping.
And that is such an important thing. And they say, you know, the other important thing, and I'm glad you got someone from the Westin who had worked there and that understands this, is trying to explain it to the people who are doing the landscaping, who are working for a major corporation many times, most of these hotels are, of how to explain this in a positive way that can make a difference. I believe in my heart everyone wants to do the right thing. I mean, some people call me Pollyanna, but I think they do. But I think at the same time, you know, if they don't have a clear-cut way of knowing and seeing the difference that it's made, and if it isn't shown how it could happen, it's easy to avoid making changes, right?
Right. So we want to make the transition as easy as we possibly can. And it really does come down to doing the right thing. And I genuinely do think people want to do the right thing. We're just kind of giving them a little push and showing them how to do it step by step of the way with, you know, Dwayne's expertise. He has done so much work here and around the island and is very knowledgeable. So we're very excited to have him help with that.
So when you go to a hotel with some of these, I assume, how do you do present it? You should present them the facts and figures and knowledge and show them the options and how it can happen. How do you take that step to make this transition into doing a positive step that will not cause negative runoff?
Yeah, so I approach it kind of like corals are alive. Coral reefs are super important to not only the culture here, but also the tourism economy, and if, as well as shoreline protection. And if we don't have those reefs, then we lose a lot of that income. We lose a lot of that value. So we go in and approach it that way. And Dwayne comes in and we'll look at whatever properties are currently using and say, oh, this is what we can replace it with, and this is the organic replacement of this. There's compost tea that's being produced on the island as well, which is microbe-rich. It restores the life in the soil. So we really want to focus on restoring that soil health, so mm-hmm. then you don't have to apply fertilizers as much as you normally would.
What about, you know, we know that when you have a golf course, you use recycled water, you know, of course, and a lot of ag places, of course, use recycled water, too. What about this recycled water that's used? Is that safe, or what have you been able to test that?
Yes, you know, recycled water on Maui is generally safe for applying to golf courses and landscaping. There is some work being done with our friends Ridge to Reefs with plants called vetiver to try to take up some of the recycled water. Right now in South Maui, for example, we have an excess of recycled water.
Really?
We don't have enough outlets and ways to pump the water out to all the places that could use it. And so in the interim, our friends at Ridge to Reefs are working on finding ways to use this water in a productive way and to avoid having to put it into injection wells. So the recycled water has still got nutrients in it, and when we put it into injection wells, and then the injection wells allow that water to seep into the nearshore ocean areas, it brings with it nitrogen and nitrates, and so and also some pharmaceuticals. So that's not good for the ocean. So we want to avoid the injection wells. Earlier this summer, we had a groundbreaking for this project using vetiver over by the Kihei Wastewater Reclamation Plant. And Mayor Victorino was there, our council members were there, and they are all very interested in finding ways to use this excess recycled water until we can really develop the infrastructure that will allow it to be used, you know, further from the wastewater plant.
Very interesting.
So, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. You know, and also this, I wanted to bring this up. I mean, I'm hearing here that you have 29 shoreline locations in South and West Maui, and you test 19 set different sites, right?
Well,
and you have volunteers taking care of doing this, a lot of them working early morning hours to gather water samples and in some of these places, right?
Yes, we actually have a program that we run in cooperation with the Nature Conservancy and another group, West Maui Ridge to Reefs Initiative, and we are testing ocean water quality at 29 locations in South and West Maui.
Wow!
And we do it every 3 weeks, and it's all made possible by volunteers. We've got this great group of volunteers, more than 30 of them.
Wow!
And they get up, they get out there to the ocean, and they're going out and wading into knee-deep water, gathering samples, bringing them up to their cars. They have little labs in their cars, laboratories, portable labs, and doing some initial testing there. And then they bring the water over to samples to some indoor labs that we have. We have a lab at the Hawaiian Islands Humpback Whale National Marine Sanctuary and another one up in West Maui. And they there's additional testing that occurs there. And then we package the water samples up and freeze them and then ship them to Oahu for even more testing.
Wow.
So it's quite involved, but we are learning a lot. We've been doing this since 2016.
What have you found?
Oh, we're finding all kinds of things. First of all, by doing this testing, and we're doing it in cooperation with the State of Hawaii Department of Health Clean Water Branch. And they, we worked with them early in the beginning to develop a protocol so that they could really rely upon our data. And mm-hmm. they could give it to places like the EPA or the state or the community, and it would be reliable and accurate. So we're finding things like we're learning where the hot spots are. Where is our nearshore water quality most impaired? We're learning what kinds of things, you know, is it nitrogen, is it sediment runoff, you know, what is it that's causing water quality problems? And then it gives us the clues we need to go out and then try to find solutions to these issues. So, for example, sediment runoff is a big issue in West Maui and parts of South Maui. And sediment is basically soil that's loosened and transported into the ocean, you know, by rain, by streams, by wind sometimes. And there are different causes. For example,
And fires. So
wildfires burn all the vegetation off the land.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have bare soil, the next thing that happens is that soil, if it rains, it gets washed into the ocean.
But, you know, I was reading your figures, and what was shocking is how much sediment comes down after a fire and how much gets washed. I was amazed. Weren't you surprised how much comes into the ocean?
Yes, it's quite astounding to have. Yeah, we did some monitoring in the Pohakea watershed, which is right by Ma'alaya, and we found it was like 60 tons of sediment that wash into the ocean. So, yeah, so sediment is something. Another cause of sediment that's been in the news lately are the Axis deer. You know, we have the overpopulation of deer. They're grazing, they're removing vegetation, and then their sharp little hooves are loosening the soil. And again, when it rains, we'll have more of an issue with sediment runoff. So we've been looking at ways to just try to help, you know, control this population of axis deer, you know, helping some local ranchers look at fencing some of the gulches on their property, just trying to find ways to address that issue. So, you know, when you think about coral reefs, you know, people say, yeah, we want to save the coral reefs. And we say, well, you have to look up slope. You have to look at land, because that's where the issues arise. And, you know, if we on Maui can address issues like sediment runoff or excess nutrients through things like the reef-friendly landscaping program, choosing, making choices to use fewer herbicides, no herbicides or pesticides, or to reduce the amount of synthetic fertilizers that we put on our yards and grounds, then we can make a difference from land and help save our coral reefs.
I have to ask, because we all know, you know, the coastline is prime real estate property. we won't ask price tags, but we know it's rather expensive. But, of course, there's areas that are public beaches, but then there's the areas that are private homes. What do you do about trying to monitor and figure out if people are using some unfortunate pesticides and things that might be getting into the water at, in the homes along the coastlines?
Yeah, we are designing a homeowner program for reef-friendly landscaping as well. We're trying to target the bigger properties first, but we know people at home who are, you know, especially during COVID, when people were spending a lot more time at home, they were getting outside, they were working in their gardens. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are looking at ways to conserve water. They're growing their own food. And so we want to design kind of a DIY reef-friendly landscaping at your home. So that is to come. It is definitely something we're working on as well.
So did you find some hot spots that kind of shocked you when you were doing all of this monitoring and all this work? I mean, obviously you get a lot of statistics and information, and were you able to pinpoint some problem areas along the coastlines there?
Well, Cove Park is a problem area. There's a high level of nutrients there in the water.
If people don't know where Cove Park is, in case they're listening, yeah. Can you tell them where that is?
Yes, Cove Park in Kihei. It's the most popular surfing location in South Maui. It's where a lot of people go to bring their kids to learn to surf, where you go to surf if you're someone like me who is still trying to figure out how to stand up on a board.
Crossbit area along Kihei, where they'd know where that is exactly, if they're visiting or something, what area would that be?
It's right near Kalama Park.
Okay.
Yeah, so we found that there were very high levels of nitrogen and nitrates in the water. And so, again, putting on our
detector. How high was it? Because I read these figures and it blew my mind.
It was like 100 times higher than the state standard. So what we're trying to do, you know, what we do then is we put on our detective caps. You know, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. So nitrogen and nitrates come from things like agriculture. So there's not a whole lot of agriculture happening right now in Kihei. So the other source might be from cesspools or from individual septic systems.
Wow.
Or also from the injection wells that are right there in Kihei. So again, you know, when we identify the problem, you know, we identified why the water quality was impaired, then we can start looking at the causes, and then we can start working with the community on solutions.
It's so important. When I heard it was 100 times over what the standard is, I mean, it's like, and you know what, on top of that, people are in that water.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So, yeah. So we want clean water, not just for the coral reefs, but also for people. You know, we all want clean ocean water. And so, again, we're trying to help. We take a lot of pride in working with the community to solve problems. And we're looking at science-based, culturally appropriate solutions that we can enact in
partnership
with the community.
And we all love the ocean, and we all want to take care of the ocean and the reefs, but you know, you found that there was a lot of trash and microplastics. When I saw the movie Plastics About the Ocean, you know, the shocking thing is that there's plastic in all of the ocean. Oh, every single ocean right now has microplastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the impact of it is, of course, that means the sea life, the turtles, the sharks, mm-hmm. the whales, all the fish, they're infected by our junk and trash and microplastics as well.
Exactly. And so one of our staff members, Tiara Stark, she wrote a grant to National Geographic. And she has received a grant to study the gulches and streams here on Maui that are transporting debris and microplastics into the ocean. And it's always easy to say, oh, yeah, marine debris, it's coming from somewhere else. But, you know, the fact is that marine debris is also coming from here on land on Maui. And so she's looking at where this is occurring. They're going to be monitoring it. And just, again, doing the detective work that's needed to help solve the problem. So if we can identify hot spots where debris is originating, then we can go and address it.
And I know that you, can we go into oysters, please?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God, the great oyster, the oysters, I don't know if we call it a scandal or the oyster detective story, the weird turn of what happened with the good idea of using oysters to purify the water. Can we go into what happened with the oyster project?
The good news is that we have, the oysters are doing well and our project's recovered.
Thank you.
But we did, we have the oysters in cages in Ma'alaya Harbor. And one morning we went in and found some of the cages had been stolen. And we put the word out there to the community because you only want to eat oysters that come from clean ocean water. And if you eat oysters that come from polluted water, and Ma'alaya Harbor is not clean water, it's polluted water, you can get a disease called vibriosis. And it's a very, very nasty gastrointestinal disease. So we put the word out there because we didn't want anyone to buy oysters from someone selling them out of the back of a truck or something and then end up getting sick.
Or, so, you know, have a big party. Everyone come get your oysters. It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So,
but did you ever find out who stole the oysters?
We did not.
You never
find
found
out,
those.
But we did have an interesting thing that nature gave us. We had little volunteer baby oysters or baby oysters. Well, oysters in their juvenile stage are called spat. And we had these spat, like, attaching themselves to the outsides of our cages, our oyster cages. Like, mm-hmm. they were volunteering. And some of them even get inside the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you've seen that, Jill, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
We were out there just this morning, actually, checking on the oysters. And
in
so,
Ma'alaya Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's some native species that will attach themselves to the cages and attach themselves to the oysters inside the cages. So sometimes you'll have two growing on top of each other, basically.
Is there a love story here?
For me, there is. I love the oysters. It's so fun to go out there. We check them every other week.
How many oysters are out there in the cages?
There were 10,000.
Oh, my gosh. That's not – I was thinking you about 30.
Yeah. They're all over. So we have a couple of different species. And
can
we
you
check
explain,
them.
In case people are listening, they don't know why. Why are you doing this with 10,000 oysters in Ma'alaya Harbor? What's the story behind that?
Well, oysters are filter feeders. That's how they feed. They bring water across their gills, and in the process, they take out sediment from the ocean. So a single oyster can filter 40 gallons of water a day.
That's a lot.
40 gallons of water a day. Yeah. So if you multiply that by 10,000, it's quite a bit. So the big issue in Ma'alaya Harbor, or one of the big issues, is sediment. So the oysters are helping us to remove that sediment from the water. And there are coral reefs growing there in Ma'alaya Bay, Ma'alaya Harbor. It's a sea turtle area.
Mm-hmm.
There are limu beds where sea turtles are feeding. So, we're trying to, again, improve the water quality, and we're using the oysters.
But and they're doing their work for free.
I know, they're wonderful.
Like, yeah.
And we decided that it wasn't fair to put it all on the oysters, though, because sediment comes down from the adjoining watershed, the Pohakea watershed. So we decided we had to do some work up there. So we installed fire breaks up there. We got a grant to do that because that's a pretty dry, windy area that's prone to wildfires. So, again, trying to keep the plants on the land so that there's less sediment runoff. We've done some monitoring there, and we're hoping to raise some more funding to do some more work up in that watershed to keep sediment from flowing into the harbor, make life a little easier for the oysters.
Yeah, definitely. And on top of that, I mean, the thing that is the good story is, and I was talking to Gary here about it, and I says, you know, all this work can't be done without a couple of things. Someone with the dream and the vision to do it, and someone who's a good leader who can get people behind that. The second thing is, of course, being able to get the grants. It's not easy writing a grant. I mean, I can't even, I've never even tried. I mean, someone could say there's a grant here for you, Cindy. I couldn't do it. So, I mean, grant writing is really, really important to try to get this work done. Who was responsible for writing the grant that got okayed? Who did that?
It was very much a team effort at Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. So, yeah, so the grant you're speaking of is one from National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and NOAA. So this is funding that's appropriated by Congress to this National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. So it's essentially federal money coming to Maui. And this is a grant to address the coastal flooding that occurs in Kihei. For all of you folks who live anywhere near South Kihei Road, over by Kalani Hakoi Gulch and Waipuolani Gulch and Keokea Gulch, you know about the flooding that occurs there on a pretty regular basis. And that flooding originates way up high on Haleakala. We've got, you know, it rains up there and flows down the hill toward the ocean and causes flooding. So we obtained a $210,000 grant. Yes, it was very exciting. I was definitely jumping up and down when I heard about it, to address this coastal flooding using natural and nature-based methods. And so we're raising money for the match for that. We have, you know, most grants require a match, so we have to raise, I think it's $250,000.
Oh, I didn't know that part of the story.
Yes. So but we're doing it. We're doing it. Uh-huh. We're fine. And we can also do it with in-kind and labor and things like that. So we are raising the funding to do that. And we're going to be working with the community on just some initial site planning. And then the nice thing about this grant program is it's a pipeline grant. So next year we can go back for some more money to get the permits and to do more detailed plans. And then finally at the end, we can apply for funding to actually implement the ideas and the plans that we've developed. So we're excited that we can help to address coastal flooding and protect homes and properties and infrastructure, and at the same time protect the reefs by reducing the sediment that runs into the ocean.
Well, we only have a minute left, or a minute and a half left. And amazing, you covered so much, Anne, and you covered it so well. But there's a lot of information we've covered here that people might not have been able to hear the whole story behind. So how do they help, and where do they go to help?
Okay, so the best place to go to help is our website, mauireefs.org, and you can learn about our events. We have an event December 1st. It's Talk Story with Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. We're going to be talking about all of our programs and projects. That's at 5:30 p.m. on Zoom. There's information about that on our website. There's information about ways you can donate, ways that you can adopt a beach and help support the water quality monitoring at that beach.
Adopt an oyster.
And adopt an oyster. Yeah, we have an oyster
adoption
program.
Can you name
the
oyster that you adopt?
No.
Oh.
Well, you can. You can name it, but it's not going to have its name applied to its shell or anything like that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
No.
But you can come up with some great names, I'm sure. We should have a naming contest.
I want Pearl.
Yes. Yeah, so we have all of, you know, a lot of information on our website. Again, mauireefs.org.
Mauireefs.org. This is a really great way to get involved. I mean, you're making a difference. I'm so proud of you, Anne. I really am. I'm so proud of you. My gosh, the work you're doing is making such a difference. And I know how much you love the oceans. You've given so much of your life towards it. And, you know, it's making a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. It's making a difference. It's one thing to want to make a difference, but to see someone who is really making a difference makes me feel so good.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, it's very much a team effort.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a great staff. We've got a great group of volunteers. Our donors and supporters and friends in the community are wonderful. So it always warms my heart every single day.
MauiReefs.org. Hey, I want to wish everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Aloha.
Yes, aloha. Aloha. Thank you.
With today's Island News headlines, I'm Gary Forsberg from the Visionary Radio News Center. The State Department of Transportation said